Blog Talk Radio.
This is In Plain English, and we are doing our book club, our daily book read. We are doing for this particular section of the book club, The Purpose-Driven Life, Expanded Edition, What on Earth Am I Here For? And we are on day 19, and I guess a few more issues with this day like I had with day 18. Not saying that that a lot of the things that Rick talks about in this book aren't true. Not saying that if put into action the right way, that these things won't be beneficial. Not saying that it just a lot of it does sound like church propaganda. And in the assignment of man's tasks and duties on people to fulfill their particular dreams or their particular purpose in their life, not really focused on just people, just simply loving people and caring for people. We still are going to talk about it, regardless of how I agree with it, whether or not I agree with 100% of the day or not, because that's what we do. This is the book club. We talk about books. So we're on day 19, cultivating community. And this particular day, the essence of it is really how to be around other Christians, what to do when you're around other Christians. I don't have an issue with that at all. It's just when we're talking about, now, these are the places where you need to be. If you're not at these places, you are wrong. You're not fulfilling your purpose. I have a problem with that. But anyway, he writes, it takes both God's power and our efforts to produce a loving Christian community. I sort of agree with that. On one hand, we could say, is it the cart or the horse? In regards to that, is God's community, Christian community, always going to be there? Meaning that the Christians are going to do Christian things, non-Christian people are going to do non-Christian things, whether or not they're wolves or not. That remains to be seen. He also goes on to say, unfortunately, many people grow up in families with unhealthy relationships, so they lack the relational skills needed for real fellowship. Yeah, and that to me, we actually had a broadcast actually Saturday with a different broadcast, and they were talking about black families, and a lot of times you can think, oh well, it's because of all this negative stuff, you know, the mom did this, the dad did that, you know, but in actuality, I think it's more hinged on what the parents don't do. The good that they don't do, not the bad that they do that actually hurts children. But I don't want to take away the bad, but, you know, I think in a lot of ways whether it's any relationship, I think a lot of it has to do with the good more than anything, the good that is done, not the good that's not done, not the bad that is done, but I digress. And in this day, I kept on coming across like real and then aw, like real and then let down, like phrases. Like for instance, he writes, "If you're tired of fake fellowship, yeah, I'm tired of fake fellowship. and you would like to cultivate real relationships. Yes, I would love to cultivate real relationships and a loving community. Yeah, I would love to cultivate that in a real community, in your small group. I'm like, wait a minute. Sunday school class, huh? In church. What if my church doesn't have a Sunday school class? You know, to me, it's propaganda. Not all of it, but the small groups in Sunday school, I think that those aren't requirements. Those are assumptions that you should be part of your Sunday school class and you should be part of your small group. And he goes on to say, yeah, I didn't like that. I was like, oh, let down. And then he goes on to say, you'll need to make some tough choices and take some risks. I agree you need to make some tough choices and take some risks if you're tired of fake fellowship and you want to cultivate real fellowship in a loving community. I agree with that. But in what specific context, that's the next. That, to me, I think, has to do with, you know, what specific church they go to, period, you know. Yeah, the section, and then we go through the section. The first section is cultivating community takes honesty. The second section is cultivating community takes humility. Third section is cultivating community takes courtesy. And the fourth is cultivating community takes confidentiality. The fifth section is cultivating community takes frequency. We'll start with taking honesty. He talks about you will have to care enough to lovingly speak the truth, even when you would rather gloss over a problem or ignore an issue. That's fantastic. We got to do that. Agree with that. While it is much easier to remain silent while others around us are harming themselves or others with sinful patterns, but the sinful pattern is not the loving thing to do. Agree with that. Most people have no one in their lives who loves them enough to tell them the truth, even when it's painful, so they continue in self-destructive ways. This is what us as Christians are all about, putting ourselves at risk. Sometimes when it actually means our lives are in danger, to actually speak the truth. And this is what we must do, what we've been called to do. It's very important, very, very important. Goes on to say, too, many Christian fellowships, here we go again, and small groups remain superficial because they're afraid of conflict. I agree. Many churches remain superficial because they're afraid of conflict. I agree with that. Whenever an issue, but this is very interesting. I found this very interesting, and I wish I had my red pen pencil to circle this because this is very, very important. Where are you, red pen? Oh, I'm not going to worry about it. This is very, very, very important. Whenever an issue pops up that might cause tension or discomfort, it is immediately glossed over in order to preserve a false sense of peace. The reason why this to me really stood out was that issues should never pop up, I would think, or I would believe for the most part. What? Why would I say something like that? Why would I say something like that? Why would you say something like that in plain English? This is why I would say something like that. You run into the fire. The fire doesn't run towards you. You run into the burning house. You're already on the offensive against sin. You're not just sitting around waiting for something to happen. And that's to me, if that's the case, that needs to change. That church needs to change. Those group of believers need to change, I believe, and run towards the fire, not just, you know, I guess, you know, maybe that's a bad example, because a fire to a certain degree is a problem popping up. It would be more like what I thought initially is a flat tire. You don't wait till your tire goes flat, and you know, you wear all the tread off your tire to get a new one. You change your tires out before the tread is gone, or to the point to where you see, you know, the steel fibers shooting out of the tire. You deal with things before. So you don't have that uneasy feeling in the atmosphere of your church of undealt with and undealt with things that are in the dark that aren't dealt with. You change your oil before your engine explodes, right? You don't wait for your engine to explode and then deal with it. You don't do specific things that cause a fire hazard. And you train people to live their lives to where they won't be and cause fire. Because to me, that's not a Christian environment. A Christian environment is not an environment that where things are popping up everywhere. You're real, you're honest, you're truthful to the degree to where, if you really want to sin in that particular environment of church. It's almost like a waste of time. You would just say, I'll go to the world because there I can really be myself. But here I don't have any room to be secretly sinning. There's no room, to be greedy. There's no room to be racist. There's no room to be selfish because they're rushing at sin. There's no room to to divorce people and just throw them away because you just feel like being with them anymore, because the church is open and they rush. They deal with issues before they talk about things and deal with things before I can even open my mouth. So before they even know that I'm divorced, they're talking about divorce. Before they even know I'm involved with sin, and they're talking about sin. So there's not even time for an issue to pop up. You either deal with the issue, or the issue is either dealt with, or the issue just leaves. That's how it works. That's what stood out to me when it said, whenever an issue pops up that might cause tension or discomfort. One more thing about causing tension and discomfort, this is what makes churches stale. And I believe, this is my personal belief, this is what makes churches stale and dead. It's the desire for the church to be in an environment where it's comfortable, where there's no tension, and it's a sterile environment. Like, oh, everything's great. We have our three kids. Everything's nice. No problems whatsoever. Like, if that's the environment that many Christians desire to have, like in a sterile environment, and be a Christian at the same time, they might as well go ahead and live and be in the world. I think, because church to me should not be like that. He talks about the issue is never resolved, and everyone lives with an underlying frustration. That's what I just spoke about. Everyone knows about the problem, but no one talks about it openly. That's very interesting, like how, you could be in a racist church. No one, for some odd reason, and this is how for some odd reason, there's never a sermon on racism. For some strange reason, there's never a sermon on divorce. For some strange reason, there's never a sermon on pornography or illicit sexual behavior. For some odd reason, there's never a sermon on drug addiction, greed, rape, molestation. For some odd reason, these things are not talked about. As if we don't talk about them, that's how we deal with them. And to me, that's what stands out to me in the community. When he talks about cultivating community, which is the title of the day, it takes honesty. That means that I think in a lot of ways there's no honesty if there's sins that aren't being dealt with. It's, a collection of deceivers or liars. That want to live a specific way and want church to be a specific way. Any way but God's way is what I'm trying to say. He goes on to say, and I did like this section. He talks about real fellowship, whether marriage, friendship, or your church depends on frankness. Until you care enough to confront and resolve the underlying barriers, you will never grow close to each other. When conflict is handled correctly, we grow closer to each other by facing and resolving our differences. Frankness is not rudeness. Thoughtless words leave lasting wounds. He goes on to say, sadly, thousands of fellowships have been destroyed by a lack of honesty, which I agree. The passive code of silence and allowing immorality in their fellowship, it speaks about how Paul dealt with that in the Corinthian church. Talks about cultivating community takes humility. Self-important smugness and stubborn pride destroy fellowship. When he talks about being humble, that, you know, it's a foolish and being prideful is a foolish and dangerous way to live. He talks about a really beautiful way of putting humility. Humility is thinking more of others. Humble people are so focused on serving others, they don't think of themselves. You can develop humility in very practical ways by admitting your weaknesses, by being patient with others' weaknesses, by being open to correction, and by pointing the spotlight on others. Cultivating community takes courtesy. It says, courtesy is respecting our differences, being considerate of each other's feelings, and being patient with people who irritate us. You know, very, very nice. It talks about, you know, I like the part where it says, in family acceptance isn't based on how smart or beautiful or talented you are. It's based on the fact that we belong to each other. We defend and protect family. Another part of courtesy is not downplaying other people's doubts. Just because you don't fear something doesn't make it an invalid feeling. Real community happens when people know it's safe enough to share their doubts and fears without being judged. Cultivating community takes confidentiality. This is another section. Only in a safe environment of warm acceptance and trusted confidentiality will people open up and share their deepest hurts, needs, and mistakes. It means that what is shared in your group needs to stay in your group, and the group needs to deal with it, not gossip to others about it. Then he talked about the dangers of gossip, that gossip always causes hurt and divisions, and it destroys friendship. And God is very clear that we are to confront those who cause divisions among Christians. And then he has the last section is cultivating takes frequency. I agree when he said relationships take time. I agree with that. Let's see. Fellowship requires an investment of time. I agree with that. And, I mean, he shared something very beautiful, and I'll read that, and we'll go ahead and close it out here. It says, we will share our true feelings, authenticity, encourage each other, mutuality, support each other, sympathy, forgive each other, mercy, speak truth in love, honesty, admit our weaknesses, humility, respect our differences, courtesy, not gossip, confidentiality, and make group priority, frequency. When you look at the list of characteristics, it is obvious why genuine fellowship is so rare. It's giving up our self-centeredness and independence in order to become interdependent. But the benefits of sharing life together far outweighs the cost, and it prepares us for heaven. This is day 19. Didn't agree with a lot of it. Some of the stuff in there was fantastic, but of course, you know, there's always going to be and life things you agree with and as well don't and as well disagree with. But we will continue, God willing. Tomorrow we'll do day 20. Thanks so much for listening to the book club. You guys be blessed. Let your will be done.
and I do this music for you. Cause you made every single one of my dreams come true. Many will say I said it, but I can't take the credit, forget it, I'm indebted to you. Try to do my own thing, go my own way, but Jesus, I'm headed to you. Of your spiritual amenities. Thank you, God.